Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
All I'm suggesting to you is you better include the Word of God in your life or it's going to stink. You better find time with God, because if you don't, you will. And God can allow you to end up where you got nothing but time to spend with Him and His Word, because we screw it up so bad.
You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is unlike anyone else, where he shares the life-changing message of the gospel in a way that's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. We know that life is pretty challenging these days, but these talks will help you meet those challenges head-on with biblical truth, encouragement, and direction. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellis.com. So, let's jump right in with today's talk. Here is Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is Text Messages. Text Messages. Oddly enough, if you've got a Bible somewhere close by and you pick it up, this is the original text message right here. And the book says about itself, just about Jesus, that if everything he ever had said or done, you tried to write it down, the book couldn't contain it all. So you say, well, a text message isn't intended to be a thorough, comprehensive deal. You just send it. You say, well, then is the Bible not thorough, comprehensive? Everything God's thinking, everything God's done, everything God is, you can't put in a book. It can't all be there. But we got, even 1 Corinthians 13 says, now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. Now we know in part, then we will know even as also we're known. So you've got a text message of sorts where God says, okay, here's all you need to know. And we have all these, yeah, but what, you know, we want more information. We text back, pray back. No, I got to know more. He says, no, you know what? That's all you get. Trust me. Yeah, but what about all this wacky stuff that happens in the Old Testament where people get killed and all genocide, it seems, whole people groups are wiped out just because they're not your people. What about all that? Trust me. So you get this little bitty text message and contained in this book that's supposed to answer all your questions about the past, the present, the future, eternity, and it doesn't give us everything or even enough, we think sometimes, and yet he says, trust me, that's all you got, trust me. And then other people say, well, is it even trustworthy? Can you read the Bible? Isn't it written by a bunch of people? And my favorite is, you know, well, the Bible is filled with mistakes. And whenever somebody asks me this question, they say, well, I don't read the Bible, don't trust the Bible because it's filled with mistakes. And I just as gently as I can say, okay, well, let's talk about one of those. Which one do you want to talk about? I have never had anybody say, well, let's turn over to Matthew and let me show you the problem. And I say, have you read the Bible? Well, no, most cases, no. So you're going to throw out the number one book of all time because you think it's full of errors and you got nothing. You got not one you can cite and you haven't even read it yourself. Not a very wise thing to do, in my opinion, just to write something off just because you decided it doesn't work anymore. You haven't even tried to apply it to your own life. Now, I think sometimes a mistake is made and you're going to have to listen really closely or misunderstand this. And I'm holding a Bible while I'm saying this. There are people who almost worship this book, and they will die for the scriptures. They will lay their life down for the Bible, but they will not lay their life down for Christ. They will defend a book, but they will not live for its author. And it's almost like we've got the fourth person of the deity in the scriptures, and people all get up in arms. You say, well, shouldn't we defend the Bible? Let me tell you something. This book doesn't need defending. God writes a book. He can defend himself. You give this book a shot, you read this book, you study this book. There are people that have read this book trying to disprove it and end up getting saved because it works. But you cannot worship the Bible, you worship God and understand this is a text message from him. Now, I'd like you to turn to some scriptures, some text here. Psalm 19, let's start there, and I am gonna try to go left to right as I usually do. Psalm 19, let's jump down for the sake of time to verse 7. And this is a psalm of David, so this is David writing, and he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Why bother reading the Bible? If nothing else, for completely selfish reasons. You miss hell and you miss screwing up your entire life. forget doing anything for God. If you just went to it for what you could get out of it, you'd get eternity in heaven with him if you read the Bible, if you do what it says to do. And beyond that, you avoid all kind of pitfalls. If you're a young man, for instance, and you say, well, I got all these sexual desires and I see girls now and I don't want to play with them. I want to play with them. You know, it's changed. What am I supposed to do? My parents won't talk to me. What's up? Go read. You want some cut to the chase stuff? Read like the first chapters of Proverbs. And it rolls out your potential life and talks about, and I'm not, you know, jumping on the women here trying to be rude, but it talks about what women are capable of. Let's just put it that way. We know what men are capable of, but what triggers men a lot of times are women who are very capable. Psalm 119, and this one's full of stuff, but let's just highlight a few of these verses. Psalm 119, verse 97 and following. Let's just jump in there. Here he says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Let me tell you something. You meditate on scripture all day long, you're going to stay out of lots of trouble. You say, well, how do I do that? Wake up in the morning, read your Bible. You're reading your Bible and a verse jumps at you. And I'll read some today that might jump at you. But you read your Bible and a verse, you know, holy cow, or holy scripture, or whatever you call it. You know, wow, that's amazing. That's incredible. That like hits me. Take a little note card of some kind, a little just piece of paper. Write it out, stick it on your mirror, put it in your pocket, and all day long, carry that verse of scripture around on your person. And when you get in a situation, traffic somewhere, you're stopped, nothing's going on, pull it out, read it again, not trying to memorize it, but meditate on it. Before you know it, it's like, I mean, whoever listens to the Madonna songs and says, oh, I gotta memorize those lyrics. Nobody tries to memorize lyrics. You just listen to them so much, before you know it, you're singing the whole song because it's in you. So get the scriptures in you, meditate on his word. David said, that's what I do. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. I have not departed from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. We just read that, another psalm. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Charles Spurgeon, an old preacher in the 19th century, said, nobody ever outgrows scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years. I've read the Bible, I guess, through I don't know how many times, and I open it sometimes and read something. And I go, are you kidding me? I had no idea that was in there. Where was that? And I've read the words. But the longer I go and the more I read it, the more it makes sense to me and it changes and it gets deeper. And it's like looking at the ocean. You say, well, I've seen the ocean. And then you get in, you wade in and go, oh, wait, this is the ocean. And then you snorkel and you go, well, this is the ocean. And then you scuba dive and say, well, no, this is the ocean. And they put you in a submarine and you still can't go as deep as the ocean goes. There's no end to this. So keep diving, keep going after it. Mark chapter 12, turn over there. As I move through this without citing any names, I think at times you have to sound warnings or people in trouble. I don't know what you're listening to, who you're listening to, but if you are some kind of spiritual crack user that finds the neatest novel thing, somebody on the radio, TV, somebody hands you CDs, and you're listening to some exciting new thing, you're gonna get rich and you're gonna be healthy and everything's gonna be great, you're gonna be happy, praise the Lord, it's gonna be wonderful. And that's all you're filling your brain with, and it's not scripturally based, you are in a heap of trouble. And you're just going back to this thing to get a hit, to get a hit, to get a hit, to feel better and say, well, no, this is Christianity. This is living the Christian life. This is what it's all about. It's not a big pep rally. There are times as a Christian that life sucks big time. And it's reality and it's hard. And you better have a spiritual life, a walk with God, a knowledge of the scriptures when you get kicked in the teeth that you take a deep breath and you say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And that's in scripture. Instead of popping another CD in and getting some hit, I think I can, I think I can, I think I can. In Mark chapter 12, a question comes up. These stupid, idiot, religious people are trying to trick Jesus and ask him some stupid thing about if you're married, somebody dies and they die, how many times? Will you be married to all these people in heaven? And Jesus comes back in verse 24 and says this, Jesus answered and said to them, Are you not therefore mistaken because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God? The devil's got power, but you combine the scriptures and the power of God and you got a changed life. And you say, well, I don't have time to read my Bible. Let me say something as gently as I can. You will have time sooner or later because you are going down. And if you are a believer and you don't have time to eat spiritually, you will get anemic, almost starve to death. And there have been times in my life where I've put it off, don't have time, get busy, don't read. And something goes off in my spiritual body, however you describe these things, where I am starving to death. You know how you go down in the kitchen in the middle of the night, and you just got to get a bowl of cereal or something just because you think you're just hungry. Sooner or later, you let it go long enough. The problem is, by the time you get to that point, you are usually in so much trouble, you are scrambling to fix it. All I'm suggesting to you is you better include the Word of God in your life or it's going to stink. You better find time with God because if you don't, you will. And God can allow you to end up where you've got nothing but time to spend with Him and His Word because we screw it up so bad. So he says to him again, are you not therefore mistaken because you don't know the scriptures nor the power of God? Romans 15, turn over there. Romans chapter 15, let's just jump into verse 1 here for a few lines. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. The patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. You go back and read the scriptures, and I'm telling you, it gives you hope. In the Old Testament, God was referred to as a lot of times as this, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why do they keep saying that already? We know he's God. Just call him God, not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. When they would refer to him as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, everybody that knew who Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were knew what he had done in Abraham's life, what he had done in Isaac's life, what he had done in Jacob's life. And just triggering those names, you go, okay, wait. If he did all that, he can take care of me. So with patience, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We go to everything else. We call friends who are brain dead and ask for their advice before we'll go to the scriptures. Making huge decisions. And you don't consult God. You don't consult the Word, the scriptures. You don't even talk to Christian friends. We go find somebody who'll tell us what we want to hear so we can do what we want to do. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 1 starts out this way. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. And he goes on to list all that. And then I'm going to jump down to verse 14. But here Paul says to Timothy, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then a lot of Christians think, well, everybody knows these verses. Why do you read these verses? Because not everybody knows these verses. Look what Paul says here about the scriptures. Verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And this word in the Greek means it's God-breathed. And this seems like a silly, maybe thing to say. I believe this book. I don't open my Bible with a black marker and highlight the junk I don't like or think is an error. When I open my Bible, I say, you know, people say, oh, the Bible, back to the Bible, is full of errors. This is another thing I say to people. I say, do you believe in God? And if they don't believe in that, it doesn't work. I say, well, yeah, I believe in God. Do you believe he created the heavens and the earth, the whole universe? Oh, yeah. Then don't you think you could get a book written? If there is so much writing on this book, on the Old Testament, the New Testament, that God knew if he let something get in print that we'd actually believe it and live by it, it's got to be right. So I don't wake up in the morning and go, well, I'll give it a shot. You know, it's full of problems and errors, but we'll give it a whirl. Maybe it'll help me. I open it believing that it's actually God's word and that I can do what it says and things are going to be okay. Even if it's horrible that day, it's going to be okay. And this stuff works. So all scripture, he says, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for, look at all these things, doctrine, reproof, correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Part of our problem is we don't want anybody, even God himself in the scripture, telling us what to do. we get all defensive. I'm horrible about getting defensive. Somebody comes along and says, well, Richard, you're this way, you said that. Oh, I'm not that way. I don't think I'm defensive, of course. I'm right. And we open the Bible, and what we're living and saying and doing and thinking and feeling and being doesn't match up with what the book says. We say, well, I don't need that. I can do it by myself. I don't need God telling me what to do. I'm going to do it my way. Instead of stopping and saying, okay, God, here's what's going on in my life, and here's what the book says. And they don't line up. So which one's got to give? And he says, you. Well, I don't want to quit smoking or whatever it is that's going on. Well, just do what you want to do. But I'm telling you, I've said no. You've said yes. You're going to do what you want to do anyway. But I'm telling you, there's consequence because you're my child. I discipline my kids. So let's go. What are we going to do? Well, I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay. You make bad decisions. My favorite one, the guy that discipled me, he says, you don't ever see people laying hands on people's mouths, praying that all their teeth are restored. Oh, God, I ate red licorice my whole life and my teeth are falling out. Heal my teeth, Lord. Nobody prays that. They get caps and false teeth. But see, we're going to live like we want to live, do what we want to do, when there's no consequence, and then get everybody to pray, oh, God, heal me because I destroyed my body. Doesn't make much sense. Now, we're going to pray anyway. Okay, we'll toss a prayer up, but we know how the guy got this. I'm not going to run out of text. I can assure you that. Henry Ward Beecher said this, sink the Bible to the bottom of the sea, and man's obligation to God would be unchanged. He would have the same path to tread, only his lamp and his guide would be gone. He would have the same voyage to make, only his compass and chart would be overboard. Now, if you're not going to the scriptures, where are you going? I'll tell you where you're going. You're flipping through your magazines that come in the mail, sitting in the doctor's office. Oh, the horoscope. Let's see what's going to happen to me today. That's crap. You're an idiot if you are reading horoscopes. It's nonsense. Oh, look at my fortune cookie said. That's what God's going to do in my life. It said right there, my fortune cookie. That's a misfortune cookie. That's what that is. You go everywhere else. Oh, we're out, you know, going to Vegas. Let's go by the psychic. Get away from the psychics. People want to go for this spiritual crack. Anything, tell me what you see in my palm. I'll see that you haven't done any heavy lifting in your whole life. Enough already. Get you a Bible. If you don't have one, we'll give you one. Climb in a closet somewhere and read the book. And if you get in there and go, well, it doesn't make sense, then go to a Bible study. And if that doesn't make sense, then come see me or any of the elders or somebody you know that it seems to make sense to, and let them read it to you and explain it and teach you. It does work. You've got to stop going to everybody but God and everything but his word if you want your life to change. This is not complicated. Another one. Go to Hebrews chapter 4. I really am almost out of scriptures, but I can get some more if I need them. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1 says this, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. And then go on down to verse 11. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and as a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You get scripture in your brain, you listen to scripture, it'll slice you open. Not in a just chopping way, but God is surgical, can open you up down to the bone and marrow surgery and clean it out, put you back together, and send you on your way. Let me tell you how powerful scripture is, and I don't know if I've ever said this out loud, maybe to one or two people. One of the strangest things about being on the radio is that sometimes you're in the car somewhere, and it comes on and you're on the radio. And I have a hard time listening to myself, but sometimes I'll sit in the car, and I've done this by myself, and I'm sitting there by myself, listening to myself on the radio. And all of a sudden, I'll start reading some scripture, and I'm sitting in my own car crying at my own sermon, reading the scriptures. Well, how jacked up is that? You say, well, you're just egotistical. It has nothing to do with ego. It's not ego. It's the power of the scriptures. Whether I'm reading it or not, it's powerful. And I can't get beyond my own voice because I say, okay, well, that may be my voice, but what I'm reading is true. And that particular day, I may need what I'm reading that day. And that's the whole point of getting up and reading your Bible. Let me read it again. The word of God is living. It is alive, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. You're not going to believe who said this. The Bible is no mere book, but a living creature with a power that conquers all that oppose it. Napoleon Bonaparte. Even crazy military people get it. And my last one is in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. I believe this book is God-breathed, and it is trustworthy. And then when I wake up in the morning, and I don't know where you read it on the throne or wherever you read it, but wherever you read it, and you open it up and you say, God, I was about to go out of here having brushed my teeth, taken a bath, done everything else that's necessary, but I got to spend some time with you. You got to talk to me and you got to give me some nugget of something to put in my brain because I'm about to get my teeth kicked in the second I walk out of this house. And I need something to meditate on. I need a text message, God, from you. Send me a little text message so I can make it today. I promise you it's in here. Every day, and the more you do this, the more you do this, because you would not think of leaving without spending time with him and seeing what he has to say.
Before Richard comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, richardellis.com. You'll find today's talk right there in the talks page, along with all of Richard's audio and video messages. You can even forward them to a friend so they can hear them too. You'll also find the prayer wall to add your prayer requests, a link so you can connect with us, the contribute page for you to be able to give to this ministry, all of our social media links, and much more. So check it out, richardellis.com. And Richard's back now to wrap up today's talk.
All right, let's pray. And our Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it can be trusted, that you have preserved these words, that we can live by them, that they can live in and through us. And in the same way that the word became flesh, you, Lord Jesus, the word, you living in us, becomes flesh again inside of us, Lord. And these words mixed with faith come to life, and people can see them alive in us. We can sense and see truth come into life inside of our bodies, our lives, every decision we make, Lord, every thought that we think. Father, I pray that you would give us a hunger and a thirst for righteousness, and along with that, for your word, for your words, and that we would hide, as David said, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Father, that we would meditate on it, that we would know these words so that when we get into trouble, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, Lord, that we would be able to wield the sword and make it through situations, temptations, attacks that come our way. Father, maybe somebody today who's seen the scriptures, heard the scriptures, they just don't know how to make the connection between feeling so lost and upside down and having a relationship with you. May somebody today go, God, I am screwed up, my life is a mess, but I, in the midst of all this mess, see that I need you and that you've been after me, chasing me down. I understand now that you love me, that Jesus died to prove that, to show that great love you have for us, that he died on that cross, shed his blood to pay for my sin, was buried and raised from the dead to offer me eternal life, but abundant life as well between here and heaven. I confess that I'm a sinner. I accept the forgiveness of my sin as a free gift. I accept this gift of eternal life as just that, a gift. Come live in me, through me, change me, and everything and everyone around me, Lord. Help me not be the same person. Thank you for being patient with me, for coming after me, and for saving me today. And Father, for those of us that claim to know you, that claim to have been saved or entered into this relationship at some point in the past, and we've drifted away. We spend no time with you, Lord. We read no scripture. We just have wandered off and done what's right in our own eyes and wonder why things aren't working and why our hearts are cold. Father, rekindle a love for you, a love for your word, and change our lives, we pray. Thank you for this time we've had together today, Lord. Bless not only the words, but the hearers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellis.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, it's the best way to stay up to date with all the audio and video talks with Richard, post on the prayer wall, how you can join the team, and even a place where you can ask any questions you have to get straight biblical answers. Check it out, richardellis.com. Finally, we're grateful when you help us with the cost to bring you this program. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website richardellis.com. That's 855-6-RICHARD or richardellis.com. Until next time, thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.